Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Labor Day. Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you, all seven of you, getting up with us on a long holiday weekend. A tradition like no other. On Labor Day, Payne and Pendergast.
Labor Day when we honor anybody who's ever worked at all. This is our concession to the Reds back in the early part of the last century. Hey!
Yep. On Labor Day, we labor.
Yes.
Is what we
Yes. So for anybody who's up there working or up working right now, God bless you.
Text if you're not us. Working, text us. If you're up with us, text us and tell us you're up with us today. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let us know what you're doing, too. Let us know what you're... You know what, Sean? This Labor Day, let's be sure we honor every profession that we can when we glance
hey,
at the text line.
Tell us what you're wearing. Let's get real creepy. Yeah, today.
Tell us if you've decided to become a reliever for the first time. Well, for the first time since 2018. And how it's going for you. Hey, listen. Listen, Lance. This is what we're going to do. We're gonna send you to the bullpen. Be a little bit easier, a little less taxing. You'll pitch 57 pitches in 2 innings, but
what did he? It felt like he was out there 51.
Was,
51 pitches, 33 strikes. I'm looking at the box score. Yeah, it felt like 110 pitches.
It was so much. And the Astros, they entered the day on that last day of August with the they were the 28th best. I'll say best. They were the 28th best run producers in the month of August. I don't know if that game yesterday knocked them down to 29th or 30th. August has not been the offensive output or outpouring that we've come to expect from the Houston Astros.
No. The most depressing factoid about the scoring to me was, I forget who posted it. It might have been Brian McTaggart. It was either Chandler Rome or Brian McTaggart, somebody who does a great job covering the team. And Astros have scored 2 or fewer runs in 11 of their last 18 games, including...
I saw that from Kawahara.
You did,
least.
Kawahara? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, including all 3 games in this series against the Angels. Thankfully, on Friday, Christian Javier of 2022 showed up.
Yeah.
6 no-hit innings, man. That's what Javier does. That's what he did in 2022 multiple times. He came in and gave you a bunch of no-hit innings. That was cool. I like that.
And then Luis Garcia is working on Labor Day today
He's laboring as well. Well, hopefully
28 months. Sean, every time I see that, I have to – I've said it. I wrote about it and talked about it a couple times this weekend, and I had to fact-check myself each time because 28 months – sounds like such a long time. That's like that. We shouldn't even be saying 28 months. After 2 years, you stop talking about toddlers
in terms of
how old they are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a
2 years, 4 months since we've seen Luis Garcia in the major league.
That's incredible. I mean, it goes to show you how jagged his recovery has been from Tommy John surgery. Not all Tommy John recoveries are created equal. Christian Javier, almost a straight line back. Luis Garcia, it's been very up and down. So we get him today, and he's looked really good in his rehab starts, the last few that he's had. I'm guessing, I'm certain he's on a pitch count of some sort, and it's not 100 if I had to guess. They're going to be cautious with him.
But well, they got Lance in the bullpen again. I don't know if they want him to go a day after going 2 awesome innings or not, but
this is, all kidding aside, Lance is not usable anymore. At least now, he's not usable because they've clearly. I'm not going to say they've moved on from him as a starting pitcher because you don't know what's going to happen with any of these guys, right? I mean, he's going to be on the team. I don't think they're going to flush $17 million down the toilet. It may very well be, though, that the approach with Lance is, hey, look, man, let's get that blister going again. Let's get you back on the IL, and then we're going to live to fight another day in 2026.
If I you know, it's hard to criticize the Astros pitching staff. They do a great job. The coaching. And the management. They're one of the best in baseball, obviously.
Yep.
I did wonder, man, everything that Lance has said about why he was reluctant to become a reliever, where it's not as easy as it might sound. There's a whole different, there are a lot of different dynamics to it. I did wonder if, man, wouldn't a smarter strategy have been to, like, do something that he's done before, which is be a piggyback guy, and just have a plan for, hey, Luis Garcia is coming back on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't want him to go more than four innings. So you just know you'll go in the fifth inning or something like that. And have it a little bit less of a, oh, okay, now Lance is warming up in the bullpen in this particular game situation.
That may have been, Seth, who knows? That may have been the plan, but they were ripping through relievers this weekend. They showed that chart during the game yesterday that shows, you know, like the last 7 days and how many pitches each get. You know, it looks like a Keno board in Vegas with all those numbers on it. And the only – it was A.J. Blueball and Lance McCullers were the only guys who hadn't pitched a ton of pitches in the last 2 days. Yeah. So it may have very well been like, okay, I mean, I guess we got to use him here. And he was – and, I was rooting for him so hard because I like Lance McCullers, and he's meant a lot to this team. Over the course, I mean, I know kids, if you're under the age of seven, you might not remember this, but Lance McCullers was a really key part of the first World Series championship. 24 straight curveballs against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He was a key component to those teams, and he loves Houston, and he's done a lot for the city, and all those things. For all those reasons, I'm rooting for him. So when he came in and had that first inning where he was good, put a guy on base, but he struck a couple guys out, and I was like, okay. Just drop the mic here. Let's get somebody else in. And then they brought him back in for a second inning, and I'm like, okay, this is going to get a little risky here. And sure enough, it imploded. In every way possible, he's given up hits. He's walking guys. Didn't strike any guys out in that inning. Had hard contact to close out the inning. Had a fielding error along the way. Like, it was rough.
He had that fielding error, and then, he also had a really good play fielding too
for his final out. Yeah.
And because we know he can do that, he's one of the most athletic pitchers when it comes to making plays in the field. Yeah. So I'll forgive him the fielding error, but my gosh, I guess that's the other part. If I'm going to hindsight rearview mirror criticize the way they handled it, is if he's going to be a reliever for the first time since 2018 and for the first time in these circumstances. Yeah. Then just have him go one inning, but again, they're
taxed,
fatigued.
They're taxed.
They're fatigued on a team that cannot score runs.
Right.
This is so frustrating. Everything that I had hoped for, everything I had hinged my dreams on was, all right, the pitchers from the IL can come back, and as long as they can work themselves into some semblance of their old selves, we'll be all right. And it looked dicey for a while, but now. It's starting to look, hey, Eric Getty, all right.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
no. Javier, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can't score any runs.
Hunter Brown was great again. Hunter Brown.
Yeah. Hunter's a given, yeah.
Hunter Brown, but he went through that rough patch, and he's come back, and this is what I was going to say, is he's in his last seven starts, he's getting Skeensed right now. He knows how Paul Skeens feels in Pittsburgh. Paul Skeens leads baseball in ERA.
Yeah.
He's 9-9 this year because his team can't score runs. Hunter Brown's last seven starts, his ERA is under 1.7. He's got one win. One.
And yesterday, it was a really well-placed slider, but it was a great hit for a home run.
Yeah.
So he lets up one run and loses the game.
He
gets the L for on a well-executed pitch, too. So, hey, you're going to give up some solo home runs. No big deal. My God.
It's almost like Seth this weekend. Like, the first game of the series against the Angels, they left 13 guys on. They won the game 2-0, but they left 13 guys on base. They were 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position. And then on Saturday, I think they left 7 or 8 guys on base. They were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. It's almost like yesterday they were like, you know how you can't leave guys on base? If you don't get any guys on base. If you don't get any guys on base, you can't leave them on base. They didn't have a runner reach third yesterday.
They were, even with not as many runners on base, they were 0-for-5 with men in scoring position.
Yeah.
And they left 4 runners on base.
Yeah.
So it's they're alarmingly consistent in their ability to, whether they get a bunch of runners on base or not that many, they're just not going to send them home.
Well, at this rate, today they're going to get no hit and perfect games because they're gonna, we're just not going to put any, if you guys are going to criticize us for leaving runners on base, we're just not going to put any runners on base. How's that sound, okay?
I say deluge, Sean. It's going to be a deluge of runs,
okay?
Yes. Yes, it's going to be a deluge.
Okay.
September will be different.
That's true.
Bounce back off the turf.
Oh, we are.
And onward to greatness with the bats.
We are flipping the calendars. A lot of people up with us today. Checking in on the text page. Z-Trip Dave, I'm up working. Good job, Z-Trip Dave.
Chris, you got to tell us your job.
Yeah, Chris in a delivery truck laboring on Labor Day.
Ah.
I work for Frito-Lay. Chips never take a holiday, damn it.
Is that Ocho?
Ocho.
I think doesn't Ocho work for Frito-Lay?
He does, but he usually signs his texts Ocho. So yeah, whoever this is didn't sign it. Yeah. Up with you guys, golf course maintenance supervisor.
Ooh,
go Labor Day. Yes.
Big day for him, I guess. I bet. Yeah.
7 listeners, make it 8. Not working today, just listening. I've got 1 hour left on my 12-hour shift working armed security in an empty parking lot of Chick-fil-A. Very long night, CJ. Good job, CJ. Yeah.
Wait, what is he? He's a parking lot? What?
He's got 1 hour left on his 12-hour shift working armed security in an empty parking lot at Chick-fil-A.
At Chick-fil-A. They've got armed security after a Sunday night, too, where they're not even open.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this. I wonder, are Chick-fil-A's targets for burglary, like breaking and entering? Is they keep more cash in the safe than typical?
I don't know. And maybe on Sundays they are because they're not working. You know, it's empty. Nobody's there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a bigger target on Sundays.
I could see them maybe having some kind of policy because they're so Christian bent. Like, I don't know. Maybe they don't trust the banks or something. They keep everything in cash.
Robbers know that they're Christian. They're going to get forgiven a lot easier by Chick-fil-A than
that's
they will
true.
By
they
businesses.
Won't press charges. Yeah, they'll right. just they'll make us go do some Bible study or
Bible
something.
Says
yeah,
forgive man. Yeah, yeah. Construction worker here on my day off. I'm starting my morning with a breakfast of champions consisting of 2 blunts and a cup of coffee. I'm wearing my safety vest and slides only. I did ask what you were wearing. So we got a naked guy in his kitchen smoking a couple of blunts listening to Pain and Pendergast. I'm up with you guys, headed to my coaching job, coaching high school football at North Shore.
Oh yeah.
Sir, you coach at
North Shore.
North Shore, that's legit.
Big time listens to
hell
us.
Hell yeah. Listening on the app, I'm a little behind doing my morning walk. Glad you guys are on. Yeah, man. We wouldn't miss it for the world, baby.
Who did we talk to from North Shore recently? Earl Mitchell when
yeah.
we had. He's a North Shore alum.
Pre-game yep. show. We had him on. Yeah, yeah.
Earl was good, man.
He was fun.
Earl's got some good stories.
He does. Yeah. I didn't know he worked for WWE. I have no idea.
If you guys at North Shore ever need one of your old players to come back and talk to you, reach out to Earl Mitchell.
He's a good one. I'm sure he has, but just in case. This is a good one, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Up with y'all, parent of a toddler. That'll do it.
28 months old.
Yeah. 20, my kid is Luis Garcia months old right now. Leading hitting into double plays, so sad and frustrating. They do hit into a lot of double plays, the Astros.
He did. You know what was?
Altuve, I mean, especially.
I'll tell you what, if you're a fielding coach, yesterday was great. There were some great plays all around, yep. and to the point where, man, it's so nice having Arias out there instead of Brandon, what's his face?
Walker. Was it Walker? Well, no. Brandon Rogers. Rogers.
Thanks.
Brendan Rogers.
Sorry. I messed you up with the Brandon. I think I've subconsciously tried to forget his name. I have to ask Brandy every time. And Brandy used to flip out about him. She knows his name because she would be just livid that it wasn't Dubon there. If Dubon wasn't playing that day and Brendan Rogers was out there, it was not a good day for me because Brandy was PO'd the whole day long.
You blame him. We had to go to therapy. Why? Brendan Rogers, of course.
Yeah.
Retail pharmacist about to go to work, always drugs to sell, LOL. I love this. All right, keep checking in with us, people. We're up laboring for you on Labor Day. All right, college football this weekend. We have 3 top 10 matchups, including one last night. I was up late watching it. I feel okay about my squad. Feel all right.
Yeah, UNC tonight.
And you, we get the Belichick debut tonight against TCU. My biggest takeaway from the weekend, and it's towards radio hosts who are probably sleeping right now, but it has to do with Arch Manning. And Payne and Pendergast told you this. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, baby. Here is Payne and Pendergast. No substitutes. Mitchell in for Ben today. That's the one substitute. Mitchell's producing today. We appreciate that. Seth, ask and you shall receive. You said you recommended Earl Mitchell as of North Shore. If they're ever looking for an alum to come by and chat up the kids, talk about being an NFL football player. Earl came by North Shore Friday morning to donate cleats to some kids. That's what he does. Hey, can you turn Seth up, Mitchell, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I figured that he probably already hung out with him and everything, so I didn't. It wasn't like a revolutionary idea by me. So good job, Earl Mitchell.
Yeah, good job.
The high school football players and how it translates into college football. I feel like it's a good time to talk about Arch Manning. And as we said on Friday, it was weird that a guy was 73 pass attempts.
93 passes.
Yep. Sorry. I didn't mean to short shrift him.
Yeah. Man, he had 20
has more. Been lauded as the number one overall pick whenever he decides to lower himself and enter the NFL draft or yep. what have you. It's just weird. Because this team, the Houston Texans alone, have in recent years seen three former number one overall recruits at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Driscoll, Kyle Allen, Davis Mills. They've all been on the Texans.
They were on the
and
team.
Yet,
they were all on the team at the same time. They had three.
Yeah, it was not foretelling greatness for them no. that they were the former number one recruit out of high school. So yep. It was just really, really weird. And I would defer to guys like Orlovsky and all these other people. They were calling him a generational talent. And I didn't quite get or understand what they were basing it on. So you'll excuse me. This is what I don't need. I don't need the people who were crowning him before he ever started a game to then say, hey, hold on, everybody. It's not fair to rush to judgment on one bad performance.
Correct.
Hey, just wait a second. Because the fact of the matter is that's true. You shouldn't rush to judgment. But you're the bastards who are telling me he's the greatest thing this century.
No,
don't spit in my face and tell me it's raining.
You and I were in lockstep on this one. We're not in lockstep on everything, but on this we were in lockstep, which is... What the hell is going on with them making him the number one overall pick in these mock drafts? What is going on with us debating if he's going to be the future of some NFL franchise? What is going on with us debating whether or not teams should tank for
right.
Arch Manning? And that's who I – as he was struggling – and I'm not rooting against Arch Manning at all, just to be very clear, but he struggled mightily – in Columbus against Ohio State. No crime in that. He's not the first one, won't be the last to struggle in Columbus. But for what he was being touted as and portrayed as by so many people out there, he should not have struggled to the degree that he did. And by the way, it wasn't just one of these struggles, which I saw Orlovsky doing last night. Like, hey, he's fine. It's everybody else that's the issue right now.
It's the offense. It's they're calling a simplistic offense.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Why is he on? Why is he wearing? Why do they have him in training wheels?
I saw someone making bad decisions. I saw someone who half his throws, he's just slinging it sidearm, flat-footed at guys.
Off his heels.
Off his heels, 90 miles an hour to a guy 4 feet away from him with no touch, no placement, or anything like that. Those are the people I was getting angry with as I was watching that game, or agitated with, because there were so many hosts, especially national ones, but there were others that I heard too. If you're a host in our industry who did even one segment talking about NFL teams tanking for Arch Manning, tanking as a topic is already a lazy topic in the NFL to me, because
yeah.
it just, at a player level, it just doesn't happen. Teams, owners and front offices may put lesser teams out there because they're in a rebuild mode, but tanking as a concept, top to bottom in an organization, is a lazy topic. Put that aside. If you are somebody who talked about an NFL team tanking for Arch Manning, or if you're one of these people that bought into that story like a month ago where Jimmy Haslam is friends with Peyton Manning, so there's this master plan to engineer Arch Manning, which, by the way, would involve Jimmy Haslam's team intentionally losing 15 games in a given season, which they're not going to do, you should be embarrassed. You should honestly, if you're a radio host, and I say all the time, we're not paid to be right, and it's true, and I'm wrong a lot. This is just, if you were engaging in NFL teams should tank for a guy who threw 93 passes just because his last name is Manning, you should be embarrassed today. You should
yeah.
be embarrassed. There you go.
He shares maybe a quarter of the DNA of Peyton and Eli, and we don't know
yes.
which percentage of that DNA is even related to football.
No,
a lot of it seems to have been spent on moppy haircuts and goofy facial expressions from Eli.
Yeah.
So I think he got more Eli. He got more Eli than Peyton, didn't he? He got more of the Eli DNA than Peyton.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of that on social media.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we know which uncle he rolls up to.
So you just flat out don't know. You just flat out don't know exactly what he is, who he is, what he's going to be. And I think 100% agree with saying, yeah, it's 1 week into it. You're going to go this Matt Patricia defense that throws a lot of wrinkles and stuff that a lot of college defenses don't do, and he's not going to see all of that necessarily. You know, and not to mention the fact that Matt Patricia is a different defensive coordinator than Jim Knowles, so it's a completely new defense.
Yes.
Aside from the complexity of it, it's just a completely new defense from anything they would have watched on film. So maybe he was a little frazzled, whatever it might be. But yeah, I don't need the people who were just pulling a Spencer Rattler 2.0. Remember when Spencer Rattler was going to be the number one overall pick
in
the draft?
I do.
Yeah. That all of a sudden, you know, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, they have to tell you, after proclaiming greatness and putting him on the pedestal, saying, well, hold on a second, it's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair to rush to judgment. You rush to judgment based on almost nothing at all. Low pressure situation. He had a good body of work in low pressure situations. Don't try to tell me that this doesn't, but we have to take the bad performance with a grain of salt, but the good performances from last year are all you need to know.
Amen. Yeah, that was that was the biggest takeaway for me from the weekend is Arch Manning's got a lot of work to do. I know it's Ohio State, I know it's in Columbus. There was a lot There's a lot in that performance to tell me, like, he is far from a finished product, man.
That stuff, in some of the throws where he wasn't setting his feet, okay, he's reading a mesh concept, this, that, the other. Like, you don't always – he doesn't look good when he doesn't set his feet. You know, if you look at – there's other guys that actually look pretty good when they don't set their feet in college. And you think, okay, they have to clean that up a little bit. But, like, he doesn't even look good in – you know, in college when he throws without it. Like Bo Nix would be a good example of a guy that, man, in college he was just, his footwork was all over the place, but he's getting the job done and it looks all right.
Yeah.
Arch looks like Peyton trying to run.
Yeah.
Arch trying to throw sidearm or not off of a good platform looks like Peyton when he tries to run.
Arch looked like, he looked like Auburn Bo Nix. I thought of Bo Nix too watching that, but the Auburn version, not the Oregon one that got drafted in the first round. Like at Auburn, Bo Nix was very raw at Auburn. Arch Manning looked raw. He did. And my favorite part of the weekend with Arch Manning, Seth, was all the videos surfacing from him in high school playing against kids that look like me. You know, like play like 5'8" defensive linemen who are winded, just chasing.
Was he in
him
some
around.
Like wimpy little private school league or something?
He played for the same high school Peyton did and Eli did in New Orleans. I forget the name of it. It was.
Did they even play against public schools at all, or is it all just like
not these in the videos I saw?
High-priced feel gooderies. I don't know.
I know what the public schools in New Orleans football looks like, and it was not what they were playing.
It was okay.
It was not. So that was the big takeaway. Arch Manning didn't look good, and Texas, you know, 14-7. You had three teams in the top six all lost this weekend. Texas ups. I say upset. Ohio State was a 1.5-point favorite. They were ranked lower than the Longhorns. Clemson lost to LSU at home, and big win for Brian Kelly. LSU 1-0 for the first time since 2019. They hadn't won their opener since before COVID. The last time they won their opener, Derek Stingley Jr. was a freshman All-American cornerback on their team. That's how long ago it was.
So that was good for LSU. Yep. Alabama continues to not look like the Nick Saban-led Alabama squad.
Okay, let me run something by you here. So Kalen DeBoer is screwed. He's the coach at Alabama. He's now lost four games to unranked teams in his first 14 games as the Alabama head coach. Saban had four in his entire 17 seasons at Alabama, and three of those were in his first season. So from 2008 through the year that Saban retired, which I think was 2023, for 16 seasons, Nick Saban lost one game to an unranked team. That was to A&M in 2021, or whatever year the A&M beat them recently. Kalen DeBoer's lost four in the last 12 months.
The biggest thing... and the scuttlebutt from the fan base and just things that you can see visibly are some of the lack of discipline compared to what a Nick Saban led team does. And there's all kinds of, I know one of the things making the rounds on the message boards and whatever this weekend were that, man, even at the team hotel, guys aren't, it doesn't seem to be a curfew or anything like that. And then, but then you've got the penalties. Last year they had 15 against Tennessee, and it was just not. It hasn't been a disciplined program.
Yeah.
And this is where when you hear that the head coach is taking measures to increase the discipline, No, that's a dude. If you're not a tough discipline coach, then all of a sudden you try to act like the tough discipline coach. Good luck with that. That's why you always come in hard and then soften up.
Yep.
Any substitute teachers listening right now know that. Yep. You gotta come in hard at the beginning and then you soften up over time.
That's right.
It never works in reverse.
No.
That's the old saying. If a king is iron fisted but then shows a human side, people will love him for it. If he comes in being soft and then tries to toughen up, he'll get decapitated.
Yes.
They just look like a crazy person.
Kalen DeBoer stepping onto the guillotine. Yeah, he's toast, man.
So the big question is, okay, D'Amico Ryan's name all of a sudden starts popping up all over the place this weekend. I did not like this.
James, my son James texted me. I wake up to this text on Saturday morning. He texted me Sunday morning, Saturday night, whatever. He texts me if we should be worried about D'Amico Ryan's getting offered the Alabama job. I said we do not need to worry about this, and I said here are the reasons. You tell me if I'm off base or on base on this. D'Amico Ryan's is not a struggling NFL head coach. He's a good NFL head coach with a trajectory that's going upward. Going to college, the pro guys you see going to college are guys who are struggling at the pro level, and they're going back a level knowing that they're probably going to be better than most of these guys they're coaching against.
Usually, like Matt Patricia, for instance, or whatever, as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
General. Unless it's a guy that's already, you know, like Urban Meyer
But he wasn't a good NFL head coach, yeah. That's my point. And D'Amico is a good NFL head coach, not a bad NFL head coach. D'Amico's wife's family is from Houston.
Yeah, and D'Amico is the rare instance of an NFL head coach who very much wanted to go to Houston specifically for that reason, the fact that his family's here, but that also this is where he was drafted, all of that. And it's one of the things that I love about having D'Amico is it's very, very rare to have an NFL head coach who actually really cares about the city or the team that he's coaching.
That's
100%. If the Texans were struggling, if he hated the GM or something, didn't trust ownership, then even as the team's on an upward trajectory, I could perhaps see it. But none of that is in place. Yeah. None of the things that typically drive an NFL coach to leave his job are in place right now. I guess the only thing would be is if somehow the alumni at Alabama just, you know, somehow found a way to pony up $20 million a year for him.
And that's my third reason. If push comes to shove, I know I'm spending somebody else's money, Cal will outbid the toothless Alabama collective. I have confidence in him. I've got confidence in the McNairs.
I'll give you a fourth one, too. It's that D'Amico wasn't there for the Saban run. And Saban got hired the year after D'Amico left Alabama.
Yeah, he was there for sure.
It wasn't the golden era of Alabama football. So whatever memories that some Alabama alum might have from the last 20 years, D'Amico does not share that same memory database.
This would be kind of fun. You know, Miami went through this phase where, you know, you had all the guys from the U back in the 80s, like Michael Irvin. And then you had all the guys from Andre Johnson's era in the early 2000s. I mean, two of the greatest eras of college football at any one university. And then they've gone through this last 20 years or so where it almost feels like there's this divide between the good Miami alum and the guys who played on the crappy Miami teams.
Yeah.
And they just don't get acknowledged by the guys who were on the good teams. If Alabama started to go through something like that, you know, where Will Anderson thumbs his nose at some of the guys on the current team, you know, all these guys from recent Alabama, where there's just this divide with Alabama, I would be here for that. That would be fun.
I wonder if Will Anderson ever talks any smack to D'Amico about that. Like, yeah, no, we don't acknowledge you, D'Amico.
Yeah.
You're not one of the real ones.
No. We weren't playing in December bowl games, D'Amico. We were January 1 and later. A few more people weighing in. I'm not working. We ask that you guys, if you're up and listening on a holiday, text in. Keep us company. Not working, but we have 9 dogs, 10 cats, and a mess of chickens. Our insanity doesn't respect holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
God, that sounds like a David Allen Coe song right there.
How many? 9 dogs and how many cats?
9 dogs, 10 cats, and a mess of chickens.
There's somebody who either that person or their spouse has a huge, huge heart, I'm guessing, and just cannot turn down a rescue animal.
And I'm guessing
Good for you. Guessing
you live on acreage. I hope so. I hope you don't live in some house.
Well, especially with the chickens.
Yeah, with the chickens. On my way to work coaching high school at Pearland Dawson. That's from B-Dub. Yeah, the coaches are up early. Football doesn't sleep, man. Headed to work at Lowe's, retail never stops. NFL business partner Lowe's. That's from RJ. Good job. You know what? Lowe's is going to be happy you did that.
Labor Day sales. That's right. I told this is the worst week of the year for me because this is when I remember or I'm reminded of all the times that I've told my wife that let's wait for a Labor Day sale. Let's wait for a Labor Day sale.
Today is that day.
Apparently somebody was keeping records on their iPhone Notes app. Yeah.
Guess what you're doing
all
today.
Of a sudden I'm sharing a note on my phone, I realized this morning.
You're shopping today, buddy. My day at work started at 6 a.m. with Payne and Pendergast. I'm doing the Lord's work. I work as an assistant manager at a gas station, making sure everyone can get their smokes, lotto, and beer. Hell yeah.
Oh, good, good, good.
You are doing the Lord's work, man. What would we do without our tobacco, our gambling, and our alcohol? I don't know.
You know what I've found? I've started to become I've become loyal to convenience stores more than I ever had in my life because of the apps now. Because there's so many savings and deals, Sean.
Oh, like loyal to like specific brands of convenience stores.
I'm a 7-Eleven member, so I'm actively seeking out 7-Elevens because they have an incredible deal on the nicotine patches, which I'm desperately trying to quit, and yet or the nicotine pouches.
That's not gonna help. Yeah.
No, it doesn't help at all. I was like, I can't stop now. I'd be losing money for the deals I'm, the savings I'm getting on my nicotine pouches.
Do you feel those nicotine pouches make you a better radio host?
I think they did for about 2 months until I formed a tolerance for them. And now I'm like anybody that has any kind of a nicotine addiction where I need them to get to normal.
You need more. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And I don't need more. I just need the certain amount to keep me at normal. Okay. So yeah, don't do them. Don't do them, kids. I don't care what any other influencer is telling you on their podcast.
I hope sales comes to you today, even though they're not laboring today.
I've turned it down already. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I try not to do anything. I'm careful. I try to be careful about the things that I endorse when it comes to putting things in your body.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm up. Truck driver on my way to Mississippi listening on the Odyssey app. Shout out to the truck drivers, man. They're with us every day. We appreciate that. All right. We'll keep checking in with you guys who are listening to us this morning. Hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Headlines are up next. All right, let's get to it. Headlines, Astros, they've lost 2 out of 3 this weekend to the Angels. They'll try to get a split in this 4-game series today. 1-10 start on Labor Day here. Luis Garcia makes his return to Major League Baseball pitching after 28 months. It was the 2023 season when Luis Garcia tore his UCL Tommy John surgery. It's taken a long time to get back. He's looked good in his last couple rehab starts. The number, I guess, Seth, that we're looking at here for pitches for Luis Garcia would be 75. That's the number of pitches that he threw in his last rehab start a few days ago. So I can't imagine. I mean, we'll see how it goes, and if he struggles greatly, maybe they get him out early. But I would imagine if he's pitching well, he's going to get to 75 pitches because you want him to keep going on that same trajectory.
Yeah. This is where, and you know, we're discussing earlier, the bullpen's a little bit taxed right now. That's why you end up having to get two innings out of Lance McCullers yesterday. Yeah. And but it's they're not going to try to stretch him out into 8 innings or anything today if things are going really well for him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine.
Unless he's super efficient and he's only at 70 pitches going into the 8th inning, then yeah.
You know what? It would all be a moot point if somehow, some way, the Astros could score a bunch of runs.
Yeah.
They're the 28th worst offense in baseball in the month of August. Heading into yesterday, I'm guessing they might have knocked themselves down to 29th or 30th with that I almost called it with that effort yesterday, but it really wasn't much of an effort.
Nope.
They got to get the bats going, man. The pitching finally is starting to look like, okay, the guys who come back from the IL are, at least in Javier and Arrigetti, look to be on track. We got that going for us, but you need to give me an average offense.
Yeah,
at least.
If they win today, I'm assuming if they win today, it means Luis Garcia pitched pretty well because I'm not going to bank on it being because they exploded for 10 runs. If you come out of this weekend with a split with the Angels, on paper, that's a little disappointing. And last I checked, I think they're 2 games up on Seattle still in the AL West. So despite this complete ineptitude from the offense where they've scored 2 or fewer runs in 11 of their last 18 games, they still maintain the lead they've had over the Mariners for about 3 weeks now. They're still up by 2 games in the AL West. if they get a split in this series, on paper, that's not great. The Angels are worse than you, and it was at home, and so be it. But if they get a split in this series and you got good starts from Arrigetti, Javier, and Luis Garcia, that's a major win. I would have signed up for that before the weekend. Like, hey, you're only going to win two of these four games against the Angels, a team that you should beat, you know, maybe three out of four. But the three guys that are basically your trade deadline guys, because that's what we were sold at the trade deadline, Seth. Like, we're bringing back Correa. We traded for Urias and who else? Sanchez. So we got some bats. But we're not trading for pitchers because it's too expensive. And we've got Javier, Arrigetti, and Luis Garcia, and Lance McCullers right. all coming back. Lance looks like a lost cause right now. I hate to say that, yeah. but he looks like a lost cause. But if Luis Garcia comes back today and gives you a good effort, that's a good start from Arrigetti, Javier. And it's two good starts from Arrigetti, actually. Javier and Garcia, I would have signed up for a split, but you get those three guys pitching well before the weekend started.
I always put Lance in a different category, so I was looking at the three pitchers in Arrigetti, Javier, and Garcia, and saying, man, if two of those three guys end up being the better version of their old selves, then all of a sudden in the playoffs, you've got your four starting pitchers that you feel good about. So far, knock on wood, it looks like with Javier and Arrigetti, you might already have that.
Yep.
So Luis Garcia just would add to my good feelings on all of that. I mean, Lance McCullers not even a starting pitcher right now, so he's not even in the conversation about when and if or well. Yeah, will he ever be a – yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's a reliever, but not a good one. Yeah, so so the 110 today. It's a day game here on Labor Day. College football over the weekend, the big game locally here was number one versus number three. The University of Texas celebrates the first time that they've ever been number one in the AP poll coming into a season by getting knocked off from that perch by Ohio State. So we'll see what the new rankings look like once all the games are over. We still got a game tonight for you Horned Frogs out there, TCU in North Carolina for the debut of Bill Belichick at the University of North Carolina. I am, for a game with two unranked teams playing on a Monday night, I am super intrigued by what a Bill Belichick coach North Carolina is going
to
look like.
You have a son that went to TCU, yes. So this you've got extra reason to care about this one. I'm pulling for TCU, and yet at the same time, there's a part of me that I want to see Belichick do well. I don't know. I guess maybe just because. I disagreed with people that thought it was dumb for him to take the job or just were skeptical that he would ever take a job such as that. I like that he's a guy that just, I think he likes coaching football, and that's what he's going to do as long as he feels capable of doing it. I guess I like it for very selfish reasons. I hope that when I'm his age, I still have that same competitive zeal, I suppose.
You know why I'm rooting for him? And I didn't realize it was until 15 seconds ago when we started talking about this, but
yeah.
A reason I would root for him, let me put it that way, because I got to sit down in front of this TV tonight and find out if I'm really rooting for Bill Belichick. But the thing that I think would be cool is that in this new age of the transfer portal and NIL, where it feels like a lot of the older coaches, most notably Nick Saban, have just thrown their hands up and said, I just don't feel like dealing with this anymore. It's not worth it. I think it would be really cool for Belichick to come into college football at age 73 and show all these quitters that he can master this thing, that he can put together a program and a system that works in this new environment that we're
in. I guess, but I honestly think he has a competitive advantage in that regard because it's way more like pro football now than it's closer to the way that the NFL has been for a long time than it is the way college football used to be.
The big difference, though, Seth, and you're right, like there's free agency basically now with the portal. You're paying guys, and you don't have to hide it that you're paying them. The one thing you don't have to do in the NFL is when you sign a guy to a contract, you don't have to kiss his ass and re-recruit him every year.
Yeah.
That's the dynamic of the portal works both ways. Yeah, all these guys are free agents, and we can sign them, but it's also a dynamic where you've got to make sure your guys can all leave in free agency.
But I think there is a little bit of an element, though, too. I could make a comparison to the NFL of you don't just sign every free agent out there just because like you like his stats or his numbers or whatever. It's got to be a fit as mm-hmm. well. And I think the teams that are going to do well in this particular era of college football, the coaches, I mean, it's always been like this, but maybe even more so now. You can't just think that you're going to get a bunch of five stars on your team and then that's the road to glory. You got to be sure that you're recruiting the right guys and the right five stars. And that sometimes there's a bunch of three stars out there that might be a better fit for your team. So I think that Belichick, A, because he's done that before, but then B, almost because at UNC, that's how you have to recruit already anyway, that they, some of those teams like UNC or Stanford or whatever else might still have a little bit, I don't want to say an advantage, but less of a disadvantage than they used to.
That makes sense. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, keep texting in if you're up with us here on Labor Day, 713-572-4610. Keep us company here on Labor Day. Man, this is fun. We're off and running. College football is here. NFL week one coming up. Texan debuts. We got week one coming up on Sunday. You can hear the Texans and the Rams right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I will have Texans countdown for you starting at 12:25, I believe. I think it's a 3:25 kick on Sunday. Texan debuts this weekend. Which debuts as a Houston Texan are we most excited for this coming weekend against the Rams? That is coming up next.